Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
A deal on infrastructure, but the question remains, will the rest of the GOP sign off? Biden's pick for the National Labor Relations Board, a union guy. And today on the show, how to be union strong and the president of the Transport Workers Union. Welcome to the Monday, June 28th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. We have two guests on the show today. Mr. Greg McHale will be our first guest. Greg is the founder of the Union Strong app, and he believes that organizations of any size or budget should have access to simple, secure technology that allows them to reach their supporters anytime, anywhere. And you think about today's society. We have texting. We have emails. He says, you know what? People don't check their emails anymore. And this is where you have to go. Building on his 20 years experience in technology and startups, Greg created Union Strong to help member-based and community-driven groups reach supporters quickly and easily right on their smartphones. And he's done this, like I said, for like 20 years. He's created Let's All Do Good and Let's All Be Heard. And apparently, these were apps for nonprofits and political campaigns, and apparently, they were very, very effective. One of the great things, says Greg, about the latest version of his tool is called Here Now, and he'll talk in detail on that. It's a location-based feature that connects the phone to the world around it. For instance, members can get updates and agendas when arriving to a union meeting. It's what like they call geolocation. So you walk into a union meeting, you find out who's in the room, you get the agenda, talking points, automatically. Right on your phone. It's almost scary when you think about it. But the website, you might want to check this out later on, Union Strong App, two P's in app, unionstrongapp.com. So Greg McHale, who founded the company, will be joining us. John Samuelson, president of the Transport Workers Union, which represents over 150,000 members across airline, railroad, transit, universities, utilities, and service sectors, will be our second guest. He's been the international president since May 1st of 2017. He's also the former president of Local 100, TWU Local 100 in New York City, which is the union's largest local. That's the one that was devastated by COVID-19 because of all the bus drivers and subway drivers who were not protected on the job. I'm sure he'll touch on that as well. He's a native of Brooklyn. He was hired by New York City Transit Authority in 1993 and was assigned to a track gang in Brooklyn, where he and his fellow union members worked under very difficult and unsafe conditions. I mean, there's a show right there. Apparently, a lot of the managers ignored safety regulations, and any worker that spoke up was taken to the woodshed. Yeah, they were disciplined, probably fired in some cases. John is a fighter. He's been on the show before, and he's going to talk about the future of work, number one, dealing with autonomous vehicles, electrification. He'll explain what that's all about. And we're going to get into the current rash of violence against flight attendants on the job. We talked about this a week ago with Lynn Montgomery of the Transport Workers Union in Dallas. She represents a lot of workers in the country. I want to say 16,000. That show got a lot of play, and she was just telling us about all the instances on the airlines of unruly passengers, many of them not wearing their masks. And you still have to wear a mask on a plane. The FAA just last week updated the data on this, and they report they have received approximately 3,100 reports of unruly passenger behavior since the start of this year. Just crazy. And in Lynn's case, one of the flight attendants had her teeth knocked out. They're upping the penalties on all this, but nonetheless, it's still happening. And I don't know if they're serving drinks now. I don't think Southwest is, but some airlines, that's where they make a lot of money. And obviously, that doesn't help the situation. So John Samuelson will be our second guest right here on America's Workforce. President Biden on Thursday announced a bipartisan agreement on a pared down infrastructure plan that would make a start on his top legislative priority and therefore validate his efforts to reach access across the political aisle. You heard from day one, we have to have a bipartisan agreement when it comes to infrastructure, which was not a problem in years past. Going back to the Eisenhower days, a Republican, he introduced the Federal Highway Bill. They called him a socialist. Anyway, getting back to what happened last week, the bill's price tag is $973 billion over 5 years, or $1.2 trillion over 8 years. Now, he wanted $2.2 trillion altogether. This includes a $500 billion in new spending and could open the door to the president's more sweeping $4 trillion proposals later on. So I guess the theory here, go a little bit and we'll ask for more later, which is not a bad idea when you think about it. The president stressed that neither side got everything they wanted in this deal, and that's what it means to compromise, and said that other White House priorities would be tackled separately in a congressional budget process known as reconciliation. Bill Samuel kind of referenced that on last Thursday's show. The president made clear that the two items would be done in tandem and that he would not sign the bipartisan deal without the other, bigger piece. Now, that could be a sticking point. Biden said, quote, "This reminds me of the days when we used to get an awful lot done in the United States Congress." One of the 11 senators was Rob Portman of Ohio, and he likes the deal. Question is, will the rest of the GOP sign off? And right now he's indicating that it's a pretty good deal and they should sign out. Whether there's going to be a stipulation that it's going to go to $4 trillion, that could be a killer, though. Senator Susan Collins, Republican out of Maine, said it sends an important message to the world as well that America can function and get things done. And here's the breakdown for now. The investments include $109 billion on roads and highways, $15 billion on electric vehicles, infrastructure for electric vehicles and transit systems, and $65 billion toward broadband and other expenditures on airports, drinking water systems, and efforts to tackle climate change. So we'll see what happens here. We're far from being done on this situation, but at least the needle's moving in the right direction. Although a spot does not open on the National Labor Relations Board until the end of August, President Biden has made an early announcement that he will fill that deciding seat with a longtime union attorney. On Tuesday of last week, Biden announced that David Prouty will be chosen to fill the upcoming vacancy that will be created when Trump appointee William Emanuel's term ends at the end of August. Background on Prouty, longtime union lawyer, currently working as general counsel for the Service Employees International Union, Local 32BJ. Now, that union represents about 175,000 cleaners, property maintenance workers, doormen, security officers, window cleaners, building engineers, school and food service workers, mostly in the Northeast. They are, by the way, one of the largest local unions in the country. Before joining SEIU, Prouty worked as the general counsel for the Major League Baseball Players Association. That was from 2013 to 2017. And before that, he worked from 2008 to 2013 as the chief labor counsel for the Players Union. He also worked as general counsel for Unite, and then joined Unite Here after Unite and Here merged back in 2004. He also worked for Unite's predecessor union for 15 years, litigating some of the union's landmark organizing cases. He will be the second consecutive NLRB pick to come from the SEIU. Last month, Biden announced the appointment of Gwen Wilcox to fill a vacant seat on the board. Wilcox was a lawyer for 32BJ sister union, 1199 United Healthcare Workers East. The appointment was immediately praised by labor unions, with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees applauding the move. Quote, "We are pleased that the president has nominated a person with such outstanding credentials to the NLRB, and we look forward to seeing the board restored to its statutory role, safeguarding employee rights and fairly adjudicating disputes. Prouty is the right person at the right time for this job. That comment from Lee Saunders, who's president of AFSCME. In between college and law school, Prouty worked from 1980 to 83 for AFSCME as a researcher and an organizer, and he left AFSCME to get a law degree from Harvard, and he graduated from Harvard in 1986. So, got a union-friendly NLRB coming our way. End of August. Couldn't happen quick enough. All right, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Union Strong.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Iron Workers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 iron workers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union iron workers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our iron workers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handles real simple at AWF Union Podcast, at AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number one and welcome to the show, Mr. Greg McHale. Greg is here to talk about his app. It's the Union Strong app. And, you know, we live in a world of technology and communication, and there's a lot of people that are not communicating because they just don't have the proper apps on their phones. And he's developed one that will definitely connect, especially union folks. Greg McHale, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Ed, thank you so much. Great to be here.
So you're telling me off the air, you're kind of a geek when it comes to these kind of things, and you developed apps before. Talk to me a little bit about your history here and how you came up with the Union Strong app. This is quite a fascinating story. Go ahead.
Ed, I am a self-professed geek up in Boston, and a few years ago, I started to think about how the most important place for nonprofits to reach their supporters is on their smartphones, for obvious reasons. They're with us all the time. We look at them 100-plus times a day. And so I built, Let's All Do Good, founded Let's All Do Good, and we built a very simple app to enable nonprofits to use it. And along the way, we were incredibly fortunate and were introduced to the New York State AFL-CIO. And they saw what we were doing and were fascinated by it wanted us to bring it to the union market, to the labor movement. And they issued us some challenges to do that. And we met those challenges and brought Union Strong out. And the response has been pretty amazing.
Well, why don't you explain how it actually works? And I've been reading too about your company, and one of the things that came out in my research was that everybody gets an email or a text, which is fine and dandy, But not everybody reads those emails, and sometimes they miss those texts. This kind of combats that, right?
That's it, exactly. The fundamental idea behind this is we're all collectively fighting with our email inboxes. Almost none of us are getting to all of our emails. And the second sort of reality of an email is, even if you do an open of it, it may be over time, it may be days later. We have the same problem with social media. There's just such a stream of content, and we don't see everything. They keep changing the algorithms, and so we see less and less of the content we're supposed to see on social media. And so the simple idea here is to deliver critical union updates into the smartphone of members, into the palms of their hand. We see them immediately and can act on them immediately. And for a union today, having communications and being in communications and delivering appropriate information to their members is just critical. And the folks at the AFL-CIO, New York State, again, when they saw this, knew this, but they said there were kind of four challenges that they had for us. One, this had to be so simple that literally any local could use it. Two, it had to be inexpensive so any local could afford it. It had to be powerful so you could reach exactly the right member at the right time. And then, most importantly, it was interesting, it needs to be connected. So in other words, there's times, most of the time, this is about a local speaking to their members, but there are times when it's important for the movement to work together on common goals, and we've built that into the platform also.
Okay, Greg, I see the website is unionstrongapp.com, unionstrongapp, and there's two P's in app, unionstrongapp.com. Can you explain to our union audience how this works and how they can get it on their phone? I would imagine there's an app store, but obviously the unions or the locals have to sign off on it. Can you walk us through that process?
You bet. So the for a union who's interested in this, a union local who's interested in this, the best thing to do is go to our website, unionstrongapp.com, and click on free preview. And what we'll do is we'll add them to the Union Strong app, and we'll actually add some content for them. And then we'll schedule a quick demonstration so that they can see how easy this is for them to use. This is type simple. They literally just fill in boxes in a content management system that they log into through a browser, and they can publish content directly to their members. And every organization, every union local, has what we call an all aboard link. It's unique to them. They share that with their members. Their member clicks on it from their phone. It takes them to the app store, to Union Strong. Union Strong downloads, the member registers, and they're getting updates directly from their local. They don't see anybody else. They don't hear from anybody else. And importantly, this is a private network. As you know, Ed, when we're on Facebook, we're the product that's being sold. This is a private network. Member information is not sold, shared, or mined. There is no advertising on the platform. And the union local, they are the only ones that can speak to their members. No one else can, and that includes us. So it's a direct communication line from the union local, from the union, to their members on their smartphones.
So once the local signs on to this, they can just tell their members, okay, get your phone, here's what you do, and bingo, it's all done. Is that right?
That's it. Yep. So we give them an all aboard link, which they share. They can share in an email or include in a newsletter, and the member clicks on it again. It takes them to the app store. The app downloads. They register. They're following their local. We also give them a QR code. And so they can put that on any of their printed materials. They can put it on a flyer. They can, you know, put it up in the union hall. And a member scans it. And when they do, the all aboard link comes back to them. They click on it. They get the app. They register. They're getting updates from their union. Now, one of the really cool features we have is called My People Tags. And so the idea here is let's deliver exactly the right information to the right member. And so if you're in the construction trades, a union local might create a tag that says apprentices and another one for journey persons. The local can create whatever tags make sense. And as their members on board, they select a tag or tags that are appropriate. The reason that that's so powerful is then the local can publish content to everyone or to specific groups of people. And again, classically in the construction trades, journeypersons oftentimes don't really care what you're saying to apprentices. Now you don't have to deliver the same message to them. You can deliver the right content to the right person directly on their smartphone.
And this is something that you personally developed then. I mean, you've got a history of developing apps, but this is Greg McHale's baby, right?
It's Greg McHale's baby. And again, I'm a self-professed geek in Boston. I'm smart enough to know what can be built or can't be built, but I'm actually not the guy who coded this. I have laid out what it would be and should be.
That's awesome. Now, you said the New York State AFL-CIO bought into this. Does that mean they have it right now? I mean, the members in New York, all of New York have this or what?
Yeah, so the New York State AFL-CIO was kind of our anchor tenant. And the digital director there saw it. And he did set some fairly high goals for us that we needed to achieve in terms of availability and expense and ease of use. And so we took our Let's All Do Good app and modified it and created Union Strong. And so New York State AFL-CIO uses it to communicate to their audience. And in turn, we're working with union locals and internationals across the country. And again, the simple idea is that device, the smartphone, is in our hand. We look at it 100-plus times a day. It is the most important piece of real estate to reach a member. It's at the top of their smartphone. And it's better than trying to reach them through email, and it's better than trying to reach them through social. And as we talk to unions, there's such frustration in trying to keep their members up to date. And that's an important component of what a union must do, and this makes it easier.
You know, you make a mention of social media, and I was reading on your website only 2-5%. 2-5% of social media posts are actually seen. I did not realize that. It seems to me, I mean, the perception is everybody's about social media today, but that's the fact on that 2-5%?
Yeah, it's what's called the organic reach rate. So let me explain this. This is obviously the way that Facebook works is they monetize you, they monetize me, they monetize the organizations that are on their platform. And so they continue to change their algorithms. And what they're looking to do if a union is using social media to communicate with their members, fewer and fewer of their members will actually see their content because they're looking, quite frankly, for the union to pay to promote their content. There's a second right. problem with social media for unions, quite frankly, is that, you know, because there's commenting on them, you know, people can hijack a conversation. And the beauty of our platform, it is one-way communication from the union to their members. There's no possibility of anybody interrupting that and hijacking the conversation. It's a very easy way for them to reach their members. And social media just, boy, we hear this all the time, incredible frustration from unions around social media.
There's no argument on that one, Greg. You're absolutely right. I hear that from a lot of locals around the country. So this is cool. The Union Strong app is being used by the New York State AFL-CIO. And I got to salute you on this one. You went after some big guns there in New York. There's a lot of union members in New York. So my hat's off to you. You started pretty big there. That's pretty interesting. Greg, I got to take a quick break here. UnionStrongApp.com is a website talking about communicating to your members. And we could take this another step further. We're going to explain the a new version of the tool called Here Now, and it's a location-based feature that connects the phone to the world around it. And this is great when you go into a union meeting. We'll explain more on that. Also, we'll get into the pricing on this. John Samuelson, president of the Transport Workers Union, will be joining us later in the show. He's going to talk about the future of work and all the craziness on the airlines today. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes Launa to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you are exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, we're available on five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. When you get an opportunity, just take a minute and do this. Sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We'd appreciate a five-star rating. Let's go back to our live line and talk about more about Union Strong. Greg McHale of UnionStrongApp.com is joining us, and this is just a faster, better way of communicating with union members. Greg, talk to me about this latest version called Here Now, and it's quite fascinating. And I've heard of geofencing. That's pretty popular in the advertising world when you're driving by, say, a department store, and all of a sudden, I'm going to use an example of like a Target or a Kohl's or something of that nature, and all of a sudden, an ad on a sale pops up on your phone. This is kind of similar, I guess. Explain this part of the new development here, Greg. Go ahead.
Sure. So one of the things that we do with this platform is we call it relentless innovation. We're constantly adding new features that become available for our union partners. They're not an additional cost. They get to use it. It just rolls out into a new release. And so recently we introduced what we call Here Now. And Here Now is the ability to connect to members in physical space. And let me explain. We do not track information. We do not store information. The way this works is a union could put what we call a Here Now around the union hall or at an organizing target or at a political rally. And so they set a location. They set a radius from 200 feet to as large as they'd like. They set a time period, and they connect a message to it. And when one of their members who has the app and who is following them and has said yes to both push notifications and location services, when they walk into that circle, that message is delivered to them contextually based upon where they are. So, you know, again, a union could be sending their members to City Hall for a hearing. And as the members approach City Hall, the talking points are delivered to them. It could be around a polling location. There's so many different ways to use this to connect to members and, incidentally, prospective members. This idea of communicating with people that you're trying to organize and delivering it to them in their smartphone. In fact, we have unions looking at using this to create a, they're in the middle of New York, and if they want to have a spontaneous job action, they can set up a Here Now and set the time period to immediate and set the radius, and it'll be delivered to all of the members within that radius instantly. So Here Now is an incredibly important and powerful location-based service, but I want to emphasize something again. Nobody's information is kept. Nobody's information is tracked. The information, the Here Now, is delivered to them, and that's it. But there's so many different ways that our union partners can use it.
I'm just thinking, for conventions, What a great tool this would be. Have you gotten that far yet, or is it too early? You say a convention, and a lot of them I know happen in Las Vegas. So you got 3,000-4,000 members from all around the country going to that convention, and bingo, this Union Strong app with the Here Now feature can communicate with all the members, right? Am I reading this correctly?
You absolutely are. In fact, we were talking to a large international who has a training center out in Las Vegas, and we showed them how with Here Now they could set, because a union can have multiple Here Nows. You're not limited to setting up one. You set the time period, and you can have one over here and one over there. And we showed them how they could set a Here Now at the airport in Las Vegas and have another Here Now over at their training center. And so when one of their members steps off the plane and turns on the phone, the Here Now is delivered to them, maybe explaining what they need to do as they go to the training center. And the next day, as they arrive at the training center, a different Here Now is delivered to them. And so you can use it around training centers and where you're training apprentices, and again, polling locations and annual meetings. And one of the other cool things is you can use, again, this feature that we call My People Tags. And so you can even attach a tag to a Here Now, meaning when an apprentice arrives, they get one message. When the journey person arrives, they get another message. It's a remarkably powerful feature, and it's just built into the platform. It's available. It's incredibly easy to manage, and there's so many different ways that it can be used.
Awesome. You were telling me about the Boilermakers. Now, they have a different version that what you're speaking about. Can you give us any details on that?
Sure. So the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, who we love, saw Union Strong and loved it, loved what it was. But they wanted their brand sitting on their members' phones. And so they liked the idea of Union Strong, and they loved all of the features, but they wanted Boilermakers sitting on their phones. And so we have a program called Your App, Y-O-U-R-A-P-P, where we can create a branded version of the platform and have it in the app stores in less than 30 days. And so this is really oriented toward internationals and district councils, larger groups. Although I have to tell you, Ed, we now have several large locals who have asked us to create their own version of Union Strong, because again, they want their brand sitting on their members' phones. And it's really very powerful. Their member looks down and they see their brand. So with the Boilermakers, when the member looks down at their phone, there's the Boilermakers icon. But when they tap it, they're into the app that has all of the features of Union Strong, but it reinforces their connection with the Boilermakers. And we can do that for any international and any large union group. Again, a statewide pipe trades organization, a district council, and for large locals too.
That's the beauty of technology today. You can tailor it however people need it. That's the great part about it. And obviously you're doing that. Well, Greg, you mentioned to me that the important thing when you develop this Union Strong app, again, it's unionstrongapp.com. It's got to be simple, powerful, connected, and inexpensive. Let's talk about the expense here. How do locals handle this? How do you do your pricing for the Union Strong app?
Yep. So again, the best thing to do is go to our website, click for a free preview. We'll show you how this works. We'll show you exactly how your local looks. We'll give you a demonstration. And then if you're interested, we wanted a very simple pricing model that's very accessible. If your local has 1,000 or more members, it's $19.99 a year, $1,999 a year. There are no other fees. Nothing. There's no monthly charge. That includes everything, unlimited amount of use of the platform. Support is included. There are no other fees whatsoever. If you're a smaller union, we wanted this to be smaller local. We wanted this to be accessible to them too. So if you have between 500 and 999 members, it's just $999 a year. And even the smallest locals can afford this. If you have 499 members or less, it's just $499 a year. That's it. No other fees, no setup charge. It's one annual charge, and you're off to the races.
So, Greg, right now, How many members are you connecting in America with the Union Strong app? Do you, can you quantify that for us?
Yeah, so we've got hundreds of unions and hundreds of locals and tens of thousands of members who are in the platform, and it's kind of interesting as we, you know, we're always constantly talking to our partners, and we got a great quote from an IBEW in upstate New York who said this has driven the connection between our local and our members, being in constant contact with them, being able to deliver the appropriate information instantly. It drives the relationship with the local, and that's what this is about. We believe that the labor movement should have an inexpensive, accessible, easy-to-use platform to drive, membership, to drive engagement. And that's what we set out to do. And that's what, quite frankly, to give credit, that's what New York State AFL-CIO in this saw. They wanted a platform that would help the labor movement be successful.
Now, you indicated that you've done a lot of things with nonprofits over the years. You created Let's All Do Good and Let's All Be Heard, and you founded Bidding for Good. I can only imagine those platforms were pretty successful and that helped launch to do what you're doing today. Is that right?
Yeah, so I originally founded, this is a long time ago, in the spring of 2002, I founded a company at the time was called C-Market, which today is called Bidding for Good. It's an online auction platform for nonprofits. And it was such a rewarding thing to do. If you can help nonprofits do better, it's kind of an exciting way to get up every day. And Bidding for Good is the largest online auction platform for nonprofits, connecting an organization to their supporters around fundraising auctions. This is founding Let's All Do Good and in turn Union Strong. This is interesting, though, because the fundraising auction is it's maybe a once a year kind of a thing. This is every day. You need to communicate with membership every day or every few days. You need to be able to reach them instantly. You need to be able to get the most important information out to them so that they can engage with it. And so I loved C-Market and Bidding for Good, but this is an incredibly exciting thing to be doing right now. These are interesting times and driving union engagement, membership, and driving more members into unions is an important calling.
I can't believe you're the guy that started that app, Bidding for Good, because my wife and I go to a lot of events, charitable events, and they all have that app where you're bidding against everybody in the room and sometimes people outside the room. And I can tell you many times, like at the last, 30 seconds, 15 seconds, you see that the bids going up and up and up. And my wife is just pounding her phone over there, hitting that. And some of those nights can get pretty costly. let me be honest with you.
That's true. That's very true.
I'll have to tell her that I talked to the founder of that app and she'll get a kick out of that. This is good stuff. Greg McHale of UnionStrongApp.com, and I urge our union brothers and sisters listening on this national podcast, five different platforms, to go to that website. And the whole idea, you want to communicate with your members. It's so darn important that they know the agenda. And nobody can hack into this. It's not a social media type of thing. This is great stuff. Faster, better communications. UnionStrongApp.com. Greg, thank you so much for joining us. Anything else? Any parting words here? Did I miss anything?
No, this has been great, Ed. Thank you so much for having me. This is an important thing for us, and it's an important thing to help unions do better and drive membership and help the labor movement. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk to your audience. We really, really appreciate it.
You got it. And we'll stay in touch. UnionStrongApp.com. All right, quick break. When we come back, John Samuelson on behalf of the Transport Workers Union. He is president and he's next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America. delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook. That would be AWF Union Podcast. And follow us on Twitter at AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two right now. Welcome back to the show. Love talking to this guy. John Samuelson is his name. He is the president of the Transport Workers Union. He's had that position since May 1st of 2017. He's a native of Brooklyn, New York. Got hired by the New York City Transit Authority going back to 1993. Interesting time in Brooklyn, New York. But today we're going to talk about the future of work. And we're going to start off with autonomous vehicles, driverless cars. Sounds fascinating and scary at the same time. John Samuelson, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today, my brother?
Very good, very good. Appreciate you having me back. I'm actually at JFK right now in Queens, not Brooklyn.
And what's happening at JFK?
Just talking to our workforce, making sure everything's all right, making the rounds. That's what I usually do. We start early in the morning at one location or another, either air or transit or rail.
You don't forget the folks on the ground. I know you ran Local 100 in New York City, which is the largest local there, and it's great to see that the president of the union is still meeting with members on a daily basis. That's fantastic. TWU.org is a website for the Transport Workers Union of America. So what's going on with these autonomous vehicles? What's the latest? I know you follow what's happening in Congress and also what's happening with technology today. But as I indicated, kind of scary times ahead. What's your feel?
Well, when we talk about the introduction of autonomous vehicles into regular automobile life for regular Americans, that's one thing. But putting that aside, and we talk about the introduction of automated vehicle technology into public transit, that's when it becomes scarier and scarier. So we already have efforts underway by employers to replace bus operators with robotic operation of transit vehicles, transit buses, robotic operation of trains. We've been in those fights for several years now with companies such as COTA in Ohio, making efforts early on to try to pave the way for the replacement of bus operators with robots down the line. And it's an outrageously dangerous idea. It's dangerous just having automated vehicles or delivery vehicles on the road, but automated buses that are actually running on not on fixed routes through urban America is a potential nightmare waiting to happen. And again, we're fighting back.
And John, how far are we? I mean, is there a date in the works here that they're trying to make this happen? What do we know about that?
I don't think there's a specific date, but I think anybody who takes it for granted and says that this is somewhere far down the line, I don't have to worry about this problem now, is deluded and ignorant. This fight, these fights have to be fought right now in order for us to secure the jobs 10 years from now. And we are fighting those fights. We're working with our local unions to develop language that will protect them against the introduction of automated bus operation. And so far we've succeeded in doing that. So we've won language in Ohio. We've won language in New York that would essentially prevent the employers from unilaterally imposing robotic technology into bus operation, unilaterally imposing. So we've ensured that the workers will be part of the conversation in many of our cities, and our hope and our goal is to win that type of language across the country so that bus operators can't be displaced. And it's not only about automated vehicles. The introduction of new technology into public transit and to other areas of the transportation sector are in our face right now. And sometimes it falls under the category of no good deed goes unpunished. We have right now a very great push to electrify the public transit fleets in America. And while the goal may be admirable and lofty, the greening of urban America, no good deed goes unpunished. And so right now, if the fleets were electrified, about 30% of the public transit bus mechanics would potentially be displaced. And the talking points for the folks that support this wholeheartedly are that there would be electric bus manufacturing in places like upstate New York or rural Pennsylvania or rural Ohio, and that jobs would be created. So we're talking about a very good concept. Unfortunately, the jobs that would be created on the manufacturing side would pay a third or 40% of the existing bus mechanic jobs that we have. So in New York alone, we're talking about the displacement of 1,000 bus mechanics upon the introduction of an electrified fleet. Now, I don't mean that to say that we don't support the introduction of the fleet, but any kind of federal program that imposes a necessity for an electrified fleet to replace the diesel fleet must include workforce development language, training language, worker protection language to ensure that the existing workforce is not displaced by the introduction of electric technology, electric bus technology, or any technology for that matter. So these are the things that we're facing right now. They're very real to us right now. And if they don't appear real to anybody listening, they certainly will in 5 or 7 years.
Think about the future here. You'll have a bus without a driver. It'll be robotic. And then that bus would be electrified. It wouldn't be diesel or even natural gas. I know many are on natural gas. It'll be electric. So the mechanics would be much more simpler. And
Less mechanics. Less mechanics required because it's not a combustion engine. And by the way, we have no intention of allowing robots to take our work. And in fact, we've contemplated an organized strike action in the city of Columbus, Ohio, against that very notion that robots would take that the employer seeking contract language to allow for the eventual takeover of our work by robots. And we fought back and we've succeeded, and we'll do that city after city. So I think it's the non-union cities, the non-union entities that operate public transit, where robotic technology will be introduced. And if that's not an impetus for workers to collectively join together and form unions, I don't know what is.
John, I want to talk about what's going on with the airlines. In fact, we had Lynn Montgomery on the show. It was a week ago today from your local down in Dallas, 556, talking about one of the flight attendants at Southwest had her front teeth knocked out because a passenger didn't want to wear a mask. And I saw some updated figures from the FAA in the last week. Since the beginning of the year, there's like 3,100 incidents of unruly passengers. John, what the heck? I mean, you represent so many in transport. And I'm thinking, too, I remember talking to you about how many bus drivers in New York died because people came on the trains and got in fights over masks. What's the answer to this, John?
Well, I think the answer to that is really a multi-layered answer, and it's got to be a multifaceted approach by the public transit providers, the federal government, and states and municipalities. So certainly, what we've seen is an absolute. It's the secondary pandemic of assaults on transportation workers, whether they be in the airlines, the railroad, or public transit. And right now, it is an assault a day alone in New York City against public transit workers. And if you add that together, city after city after city, it's a couple of dozen of assaults a week against public transit workers. So we've seen assaults against public transit workers for quite some time. We've made moves to mitigate against that. The pandemic has reintroduced all of the ugliness that we thought we were beginning to put behind us. And now, as you say, it's spreading into all of the various passenger transportation sectors. It's a full moon atmosphere. I know Lynn referred to it as COVID fatigue or something along those lines. And, you know, she's absolutely right about that. But there is a full moon atmosphere. In my nearly 30 years doing this, I've never seen the amount of aggression of public transportation users or transportation users in general, whether it be in the airlines or public transit or the railroads. It's really an outrageous affront to society, and the powers that be need to get a grip on it. And that would be a combination of federal regulation, state and local policy making, this whole controversial question about law enforcement, which I think speaks to a disconnect between everyday average people, transit riders, transit workers, bus operators, train operators, conductors, that are the average everyday people that are the backbone of American communities all across urban America. And the notion that we shouldn't have to go to work and get pummeled every day, and that a police presence in subway and bus operations is a massive deterrent to these assaults. And yet we run into a whole notion among a big wing of the Democratic Party that this type of policing should not occur. And we believe there's a balance there to be had. It's a rational balance that rational people should be able to wrap their arms around, that we should have a targeted police presence in public transit across America, that's not an overbearing presence that doesn't police the fare box in order to criminalize mischief or criminalize poverty, but yet on the other hand, working people that come to move America every day should not be subjected to these type of assaults. So the balance has to be struck. America has yet to find it, and they must find it. If there were 1,000 politicians a month, elected officials a month getting assaulted in America, it would make international news. But for some reason, these elected officials that are responsible for making policy think it's okay to use transportation workers as cannon fodder as they argue about what type of policing is most effective in urban America. So transit workers are caught in a crossfire. And again, now we're seeing that bleed into other areas of the transportation sector, such as the rash of violence against flight attendants.
It's got to come to an end. It's got to come to an end sooner than later, no doubt. John, I knew I'd get a good response out of you. I really thank you for joining the show. We do this segment with the Transportation Trades Department each and every month on the show. It's important to hear from that sector of America that is driving and flying Americans on a daily basis. So I appreciate what you do. You got a lot of fight in you, brother, and let's stay in touch on this issue, okay?
I appreciate it very much.
TWU.org is their website. You can also check them out on Facebook, Transport Workers Union. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the Coalition for a Prosperous America and the Office of the Ohio Consumer Council. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.